No, actually,
okay, we're going to get started.
Yeah, we'll get started. I'm Sarah Fox. I'm the vice chair, but I'll be chairing the meeting tonight. Rob Bailey and Alex Ball are here, and we're waiting for Shelley Kenny as well, who joins us. She can introduce herself for the record. I was asked to start tonight with the mobile app update, and then we'll go to the public hearings.
Okay. So I wanted to introduce the commission to Garrett. Garrett's the gentleman working on the development of our historic mobile app. He works in the county's GIS department, and I want to just kind of throw it over to him and have him introduce himself and tell you a little bit about his experience and what he's been working on.
Yeah, so I got tasked with this, so I had some previous mobile experience. Basically, it's all mostly web mobile, so working with existing like web technology, but putting it in a mobile framework so that kind of get a little bit of easier development and cross-platform with like iOS and Android and all that, with not really a minimal amount of work, but less work than doing both of those. I developed two apps for while I was at, I worked for NOAA previously in Hawaii, Pacific Services Center, and did a tsunami evacuation zone map and a map for a state park out there, just mapping where you can find like certain species and interesting sites. So it's come a long way in the past 2 years, so I'm learning new framework and new way to kind of develop apps now to make them function a lot more like you would expect kind of native app to run now, but still using some of that web technology to allow us to port it over to iOS and Android really simply and not have a huge investment in either. So I believe Jackie showed you last time some of the slides of the mockups that I've kind of come up with for just how to navigate through and how to get through the app. It broke down pretty nicely the way that they kind of standardize some of the navigation through the app and all that. So I was pretty happy with how it all kind of came together on there. And that was kind of looking at other apps that do similar things and features that we liked from those and incorporating them kind of into what we had here for sites. So the past month, I would say about the past 2 months, most of what we've been working on is kind of getting the data together so that Jackie or somebody will be able to dynamically update the data from, we made a administrator portal that they can access so that they can add in new sites or delete sites or edit information with sites at any time, and then that'll automatically update the next time somebody like loads the app or whatever. She'll be able to upload pictures and all that kind of stuff. Just any information that you would see in the app will be can be administrated through this web interface, so that's really nice. And yeah, we'll keep it really fluid with any changes that happen with it. Yeah, so that was basically a lot of what we were working on in the beginning and trying to get that data structure all together nice and fast and everything. So I've gotten into some of the development now, have some of the a portion of it working, kind of the base of it, like getting the map with the sites up, going to a list of all the sites, and having the information display from what we have. So I can show you guys too. Take a look real quick. Can't pull it up on there, but we just want to see.
So, yeah.
Does it interact with your GPS? So you,
yeah,
your location. So this is here.
Yeah. So you can click on this little GPS find. It'll, when it loads, it'll automatically put you where you are, and then it'll show you the sites that are kind of around you. And what'll display then, like on the bottom, is whatever site is the closest to you, and it'll say like what the distance is. And you can click on that and see that, and then you'd be able to scroll through. That's not working right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. It's not working, doing anything.
So it looks like it's using like Google Maps as the as the base.
And I may change that depending on how well it works. Since it's using the web interface, it can be a little bit slower. And some people say that Bing Maps is a little faster, so I might use that. But you can click on like this list thing, and you'll see the list of all the sites that we have on there. You can search through those using the search up there. So there's no picture. There's the back button up there. So
are you at a point now where like all this data has to be loaded?
So we have the points for all the data. We have the names and all that. And we're going through and we'll be updating the database with all the data based off of the current historical site index for the county. As we update it online, this will just automatically update with all that data.
Cool.
Nice. Well, it's looking really good. She showed us screenshots at the last meeting.
And so it's kind of coming along. And the base is there, and now it's just kind of fitting all of the data into what we had kind of come up with the design up there. So, making good progress. Should be, I would think, not very far from like full testing of it. So, probably the next couple weeks or so.
Cool.
So it seems like, you know, I don't know how it's going to look like, you know, when you launch the app, is the map going to automatically just come up like you showed us? And I guess I'm wondering, like, where does the, maybe the commission's logo and some of, you know, sort of identifier information, because it looks very much just like Google Maps is launching with.
Right. So we can put something, so there'll be a way to get on there from the side menu when you navigate over. Essentially what will be on there is, something sort of similar to this. So your logo would be up at the top right there, and it would kind of say what's on there. You'll have an about button in there that will tell you about the commission and all that, and all the information in there. And we can put a splash screen, so when you open up the app for the first time, it'll come up with a logo and kind of say, this is brought to you by whoever, and have, what kind of information we can fit in that. And if you, if you still want something for them to read through and click, or whatever you would like to have it open up as, we can do that. Right now, it just opens up, the map for, that's the most direct access to kind of what you're going to want to see.
Right.
So you probably don't want something that's like too invasive that they have to click on every single time. But a splash screen would probably work pretty well. But just, when you open something, it stays there for 5 seconds or whatever, and then disappears, and then they can go back to the information if they want.
So, cool.
And we'll kind of sprinkle it around in other areas too, so that there's just other ways to, when you're at a site, you could always put a link or something in there to have a way to pop that up from like different places, so that we can try to get people to find that and read that.
So I'm not very techy, but do we have, will we know how many people have used the app?
So you'll know how many people have downloaded it. We may be able to put in some tracking just some analytics for where people are going in the site. They're going to have internet access to run it. So we can send responses when people hit like certain pages and things. So we could probably track even like what pages people are kind of looking at, what sites maybe get traffic and people are looking at.
what they're most interested in.
Yeah, there's definitely different things we can do to kind of see how many hits and all that they're getting. So
yeah, I think my most important one would just be to see how popular it is. If it's really, you know, since we're hoping it's something people will really want to use.
Yeah, you'll definitely have a number of how many downloads there are. Within both of the app stores, the developer portal gives you pretty good numbers on when people are downloading it. So you can see, you know, on your rollout how many people have downloaded it. If you do another, like, marketing campaign a little bit later, mm-hmm. you know, and start passing out stuff, you can see if that has any effect on how many people are downloading it.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Which that you'll have to get that information through me, so mm-hmm. I'll have to develop your license on that. But yeah, I can have the pass along the time.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, I think we're good on schedule, so we're gonna need the grant application product is due by the end of August. I'll be sending out a periodic update at this week for as part of the grant. The state's been happy so far. They're excited to see it. So our next, maybe in August, we can do maybe some brainstorming on getting the word out. You know, we can use, of course, do the traditional methods, but let's maybe come up with some other ways that we can let people know that this is here.
Great. Thank you. Well,
hey, Shel.
Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. We were just going to go. Garrett's here from, he's been working on the app. And
hi, Garrett.
So he's just kind of going over how it's working, and that we have to be in maybe testing mode in the next couple weeks, so more to come.
Did you want us to have a formal roll call now that Shell's here?
Let's do that before we do the, we'll start the, like, the minutes of mm-hmm. the agenda. So we'll kind of say this is kind of a work session.
Okay.
We'll do the regular meeting from there. Okay?
All right.
All right. Well, does anyone else have any other questions for Garrett? Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming. Yeah.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I guess we can start roll call. And as awkward as this feels. Yes.
Sure. Rock Manley, Commissioner.
Sarah Fox.
Alex Gall, Commissioner.
McKinney. All right.
I'm Jackie Camp, Clark County staff for the historic preservation.
Ryan Monroe, City of Vancouver.
John Peters, City of Vancouver.
Sean Wagner, City of Vancouver.
Dean Herman.
Mark Dock.
Brad Isaac.
Sherry McCabe, Clark County Parks. Bill Bierke, Clark County Parks.
All right. Thank you. All right. Hasn't everyone had a chance to look at the minutes? And if so, do we need a few minutes? If not?
I'd like to move that we approve the minutes.
I second that.
Okay. We have a first by Rock Manley, a second by Shel McKetty. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. So we can move forward to our first public hearing. It's the nomination of the Salvation Army Building. And do we have a staff report?
Good evening. Our first building is the Salvation Army Building, located at 311 West Everton Boulevard. And it was presented by the owner, Dean Irvin. So the statement of significance for this building, the applicant has listed item one, which is associated with events that made a significant contribution to Rock County's national state of open history. Number two, that it embodies the distinctive architectural characters of the height, period, style, or method of design and construction, or represents a significant and distinguishable entry whose components may lack individual distinction. Three, it is an outstanding work of a designer, builder, or architect who has made a substantial contribution to that field. And five, it is associated with the lives of persons significant in the national state of local history. The building itself, its physical description, it's a Roman brick building. It has three separate masses that have a horizontal banding to them. floor plan is asymmetrical. The northeast wing is a single story. It contains the entrance foyer and administrative spaces for the Salvation Army. The central wing has two stories and contain the chapel on the upper floor and the recreation and dining hall on the ground floor. And the southernmost section is also two stories and contains the band assembly and practice area on the ground floor. And then there was the home league meeting room and classrooms above that. As far as the city codes under 1739, staff found that the building does have integrity of location, design, setting materials, workmanship, and feeling, and association. The building is at least 50 years old, and it is significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, or cultural heritage of the community, and meets at least one of the criteria. And we found that in this case, it was associated with events of significant contribution to local history, and it is associated with lives of persons significant in local history, and as well as is work of a designer, builder, or architect who has made a substantial contribution to their field, as well as the same person who is significant in our local history. Staff finds the nomination for the Salvation Army building meets all four of the criteria for approval. And staff recommends listing of the Salvation Army building on the Clark County Heritage Register, subject to the standard listed conditions of approval. And one thing that was not in your packets that I did bring tonight was the contributing elements list. I'd like you to take a look at that and make sure that the pertinent additions that you saw there in the story you might like to add. For Salvation Army, I just went with three contributing areas. One was the exterior brickwork. Work that Dave Lepore used in several of his works. The horizontal cedar cornice banding, and then the original exterior windows. I thought those were the main contributing elements. Under the non-contributing elements, I listed a lot of the interior items, such as the original kitchen cabinets, ovens, original window molding, hardware, windows and doors, and the double doors that led from the kitchen down to the dining room. So if you had any comments, you'd like to make time to. If you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Do we have any questions for staff?
What was the setting materials? You said setting materials, you were listing off the...
That was the stock language from the statement of significance, and in this case,
it's the integrity of setting material.
Yeah, it was separated by.
I did not hear that. Alex is smarter than me.
He found the inferred comments.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, comment.
Any other questions? All right, I did forget to ask if we have any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest. Anyone?
No.
Okay. None of us have any ex parte contacts or conflicts. So let's open the public hearing.
Appreciate you guys coming, for sure. It's really, really nice to have you guys there. Hopefully, more can attend the next ones and stuff like that. I learned, just as a my little point of view, I'm able to learn from when you guys show up. There's some similar to novels and some of the things I'm learning when they hear an architect talk or city planning people. It's really nice. It kind of helps me to learn my next as we go on to the next ones. This building has just become attractive to me as I've gotten to know it because of Dave Oborn. Just an not sure, Jackie, if it was you, but I think I read one that maybe you had done on the courthouse, and I read that, and it was, that's what led me to think, wow, this guy was very, not just prominent, but I got a packet that has like over 200 buildings that he's listed as having an architect on. And then I talked to Sally, his daughter, and she says that's not all of them. So I can't imagine what he was doing. So, but that's what kind of attracted me to that one. And then I got to know the people at the Salvation Army themselves, and they were having their 125th anniversary this year too. They just had it, and it was kind of nice to get their take on the Salvation Army as a whole. One of the things that was unique was when they first came around 1890, downtown was quite active with a lot of drinking and carousing and partying, and they were here to as a temperance type group, and so it was kind of fun to get their thoughts on how what they had to deal with the soldiers and what have you. So how they went from leasing and being loaned places and so forth until they finally decided to build this one. And that was, there was a couple pieces in the packet that shows you where people donated money to the fund to help build it. And that was kind of our approach that had some significance to it too. So that's kind of the things that got me kind of turned on by.
We purchased the building in 2006, and it was closed and shut down. It was a blood bank when we got the building, and so in working inside of it for about 2 years to bring back up to speed, it was pretty pretty interesting how simple a lot of the woodwork is, and it's the anything that we're involved in is the newest building. So it's interesting to see from some of the older properties to this what a change in architecture there was. But it's pretty well intact, identical, and the exterior has all the same wood. There's been a couple of windows replaced, but a lot of the original glass is in there. And it's pretty basic, simple architecture. Moldings inside are real clean and smooth, no routering or grooves, a little bit of taper to some of them. And all that was in place, so we spent quite a bit of time basically sanding and smoothing things up and putting it back so like it originally was. There weren't a lot of real changes inside, but it's a very awesome structure in the way that it's almost designed like a tri-level house, because there are stairs going everywhere up and down to these different levels, which is kind of unusual. But it's a real solid building, and in climbing around in a small attic space, we found some of the donation receipts of local people that had donated anywhere from 5 cents to $5. There was a lot of small donations from people that helped to put the building together. So, but being an early 50s building, structure is extremely sound and well intact. It was really well built. They did a nice job on it. Happy to answer any questions.
Well, I saw Larry O'Collins was the contractor, it looks like. And they only two, three years ago, I think, finally closed their doors.
Well, Larry died.
Yeah, well, the company continued, but
yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of neat to see that way back in 52.
And some of the people that donated are still around. It's not like some of these other buildings
right.
that we're working on where they were the early 1900s. Some of these people that the donation receipts were still connected to folks that are here in town. So it was pretty interesting that way.
Did you keep them?
Yeah, we kept them all. They're part of our package. And there might be, I don't know, Jackie, did any of those get included?
Yeah, I thought some of them, yeah.
Yeah. It was somebody had taken a lot of them because there were just a few scattered around up in the rafters. So we took everything that there was and looking for any kind of artifact possible. And so there probably was only maybe 10 or 12 of them. But was pretty interesting to find those. Other than that, I think over time, I don't know the number of tenants between construction and between when we got it. We only know about the one that was there slightly before we purchased. But the actual building itself is, it's very nice that nothing's really been changed about it. All the walls are in the same place, and the structure really is, in general, is just like it was before.
Is there ever going to, do you foresee ever having to do ADA upgrades or anything like that? Or by being on the register, does it exempt it from that? Or,
you know, I'm not sure about that. There's a lot of concrete in that building, so if it comes to that, there's going to be, it'll be kind of a major change.
You want a lot of stairs.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure how you get an elevator to service the different levels because they're in all ends of that building.
They're
spread out everywhere. So there's some in the middle, there's some at one end, and there's some at the other.
There's a building code that is for existing historic structures. I don't know if it's historic, but it's an existing building code. So I would assume that that happens a lot in my jurisdiction where we have those upgrades are exempt.
So remember in our Title 17, there is provisions for historic buildings and access. It's a few years since I looked at it, but
you may have some exemptions anyway if those different levels are all under 3,000 square feet, which I think they probably are.
Yeah, I think the total building is like inclusive of everything is 6,500.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there's no level that would be over that. So no, that's all helpful knowledge for me. Those bathrooms are tiny.
Yes.
And so we've always said, in fact, our tenant mix in there at the south end building, which was very unusual that they just loved the space, but it's blind people. And I said when we were showing it to them, it's just stairs everywhere. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you're going to go up to your office or you're going to go down to the lower level. And they just, I guess it was a non-issue and they're used to those things. As a person that's still able to see somewhat, it was a little bit shocking to me. But I said, this is not a flat level in here.
Right.
But they're very happy. They love the space and they're very excited about it. They've been in there about, I don't think, quite a year yet. Gave them some nice expansion space. They're just awesome people there. They work for the Blind Athletes Association. Mm-hmm. And anyway, super nice people, but I was surprised about that. And the bathrooms, in every case, they're pretty small. So we always have a backup plan for accommodating if there is something in the case of like that. We offer up another space to get a wheelchair in and hold a meeting for someone else in a different building if they need that. So if anyone does come in that's handicapped, we make sure that we're either going to lift them into the building in their wheelchair or we're going to get them another building that they can hold their business in to make sure they're accommodated, because that's a horrible building to try to get into.
That was what I thought when, you know, looking at the horizontalness of it and stairs everywhere.
It could be classified as bad news for that part, so we just make sure that the tenants know if they get someone that needs that access that will accommodate them. And we're lucky enough to have some other properties right nearby, so we can make sure we can set up a meeting space or a space where they can be accommodated, because that is important.
All right, do we have any other questions for the applicant?
When we were on our tour and we were walking the perimeter of the building, that west facade with all those windows that you can barely see any of it because of the big mature vegetation there, the plantings. Do you have any plans for that?
Well, I think our, if you drive by there, I think our vegetation definitely needs to be thinned. And it was totally naked when we first went there. And so back in, I think, around 2007, we irrigated and planted. Oh my goodness.
It worked.
Taken over. Yeah. So the plants were all in everything we had was 6-inch pots, and now that stuff has just got out of control. So there's one original tree to the property, and so we're probably going to have to do a little bit of thinning of that to be able to have that part of the building show.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other the other landscaping on that side has just grown so much over the last, you know, 9 years. That it's ready to be thinned, and then that would show off that side of the building better. Because there is a beautiful bank of windows on that side, and some staggered ones on the next level up. That all shows if there wasn't so much greenery there.
Any other questions? Okay, so this at this time we'll open it up for public comments. Seeing none, we'll close it for public comments. And then I guess it's time for us to deliberate and make a motion. Do we have any other thoughts or questions? Anybody want to make a motion?
And make a motion that we approve the Salvation Army building for listing on the Clark County Heritage Register.
I second the motion.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. So we have another public hearing. This one is a nomination for the Rank Building. Is that right? How do you say it? Rank? Okay. Rank Building at 901 Washington Street. We'll have anyone announce their ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest? Anyone?
No.
No? Okay. So we'll open the public hearing and have the staff report presented.
Okay.
Okay.
As mentioned, the Rank Building is located at 901 Washington Street, and that dates back to 1908. Criterion 1, 2, and 5 as the statement of significance. And that would be associated with events that made significant contributions throughout the history of broad patterns of national, state, local history, distinct architectural characteristics of the type, period, style, or method of design or construction, or represents a significant and distinguishable entry whose poems may lack individual distinction and is associated with lives of persons significant in the national, state, or local history. So I guess the overall significant contribution here is the person, Glenn Rank. He was a military veteran. He was also a two-time legislator. And he also was very, active in local politics as well. As for the building itself, the floor plate is basically a 50 by 100 rectangle with a small cutout in the northeast corner. The exterior is with concrete type brick. Has a flat roof with a perimeter parapet. And exterior features include pairs of three light windows lined vertically and horizontally. The windows are separated by projecting brick pilasters. Vertical pilasters and window alignments are countered slightly by a recessed horizontal banding in the brick pattern. And it's also accented with arches on both sides. In terms of the code requirements, staff found that the building had integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association. It is at least 50 years old. It is significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, and cultural heritage of the community, and under significance, it embodies distinct architectural characteristics of a type, period, style, method of design, construction, and represents significant and distinguishable entity whose components may lack individual distinctions, and also associated with lives of persons significant in national, state, or local history. So the staff found that the nomination of the Rank Building met all four criteria, and the adopt the rules and regulations of the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission. Staff recommends listing of the rank building on the Clark County Heritage Register subject to the standards and conditions of approval. And as with the Salvation Army, we have the contributing elements list also provided. These look over there as goes during the deliberations. Let me know if there's anything you thought should also be listed as contributing or not contributing as something in our records. That's all I have.
Thank you.
So I noticed there was a plank on the oldest photos. Is the archways, were those for any type of transportation to go in there?
I didn't see any evidence of that. If you're looking at the ones that still have the crest of the bracework there, apparently that was a pass-through and the entry doors were on the inside. But I didn't see any evidence of that.
Not able to see it from the interior.
Okay. Cool.
Although you could still rock climb out the behind the curtain, you can see the interior brick and come inside. Mm-hmm. At least on that. So that's what I thought.
So it could have been a breezeway?
Mm-hmm. That's my understanding.
It was, you know, the corner entries where there's basically a post and you circulate around that post and the doors are set inside. That's pretty nice. Much what it was.
I saw that ramp over there.
That was during construction. As part of their
I, I'm glad to see this contributing elements list. This was actually part of one of my comments I was going to have was about listing the brick. We had a lot of discussion on that when we were out at the site. The arches, for sure. Those things would be nice that they're captured in case, you know, someday it gets sold by another owner and we've captured that those are important elements to this building. So. But I don't have any questions. Does anyone else have any questions? All right. Let's move this part of the hearing to the applicant. And if there's any comments or more you'd like to add?
As we continue to do each one, the first one we did, if you remember, was the Sparks England building. And I remember when I was first researching that, names were popping up here and there. And they kind of stick in your mind. And then eventually, as I got to this one, I started seeing this name, Rank. Recognized it from the other things. And as I've continued to research some of the other buildings, he keeps popping up more and more. And I just thought I'd include this last thing that I found on him. Prior to him becoming the treasurer for the county treasurer, the city treasurer rather, in 1927-26, he presented to the council, city council, a request for them to approve and the book that he was writing and become supporters of a book, and he wrote a book called The Northwest Territory, stories about the Northwest Territory, and it's included a little bit in there. It was a prose and it was also a story. Some of them were a little bit embellished, I believe, but I did find the book and read it and read through it. And at that time, they listed him or noted in the minutes that he was Clark County's historian of record. So he was the guy who was doing all this story. And then shortly after, maybe a month or two, a gentleman named Fred Lockley, some of you may know him from his book that he wrote about from the Columbia River, from the Dalles to the Sea. And it's just three volumes of biographies about some very significant people, mainly in Portland, but a lot in Clark County, Vancouver. And he came and he sent a letter to the mayor and said, I have a house that I own that I would like to donate to Clark County and the city. And the house was the Covington House. And so we know where the Covington House is now, up by Kagan's Bowl, but it used to be out at Five Corners. So they asked that Glenn Rank, then he become the person to facilitate that. And then further on down the line, we'll see that when he was president of the Clark County Historical Society, he formed it with some other people, including Mr. Hidden, and he was president. You see later on where they took ownership of it and then had it moved to where it's at now and stuff. And so that came up after I did this one. So he was very, very active in so many things and really cared about the history here itself. And this building, it was never meant, from what I can find, I'm still hoping I find the blueprints on it one day, but I never found anything to say it was going to be any taller than this, but yet it was built pretty much, it could have gone taller, according to the
Nusanke.
You know.
Right.
12 stories, I think he said.
Yeah.
Pretty ambitious.
But I have no doubt that I will keep finding more and more about Glen Rank as we go on.
You know there's ranks in the area, quite a few of them.
No.
And the one I know is Glen Rank. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
His wife is Carol Rank, yeah, just so you know.
Yeah,
same spelling, too. And they've lived here. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's the same family, but I...
Oh, I love to see that. Thank you.
Our involvement in this building started in 2002, and the second floor of the building was completely vacant. They had a fire in one section down at the northeast corner. Had a fire in it, and it was in pretty bad disrepair. They had black plastic visqueen that was across the floor, and they rolled it up all the walls. When I went in to look at the building, it was all stapled to the top. It was like a swimming pool in there because the roof was leaking pretty bad. So that was a bit of a shock. It was just all black plastic in every room up there, and I think there's 18, is there 18 spaces up there or something like that? So anyway, but the wonderful part about it was that the woodwork, so the second floor of the building is probably the most interesting, with the exception of the exterior architecture, because it has, for the most part, all the original doors are there, all the original woodwork is there, and the gas lines for the old gas lanterns are still in there, and all the plumbing was still there, and the sinks. It was a boarding house on the second floor, so they used corner sinks. Every room had a sink in it, and then they had a separate bathing space. So all those materials were in there, and we were able to save and refinish most all of that. And so when you go into that second floor, feels pretty much like the correct time period. And some of the rooms, in fact, the whole level has all the original wood in it underneath there. And they had layered linoleum, this tar-based linoleum throughout. But it was loose laid like you would use an area rug. So most of that was destroyed because of the water when we got involved in it. So there's very little of that left. But second floor is it has nice tall ceilings. The architect was awesome. They put the transom windows and lots of ventilation. Really well done skylights. So there's daylight up there all the time. If you turn all the lights off, most all the rooms still have some kind of light in them. And they put lighting even when it abutted the building to the east. They dropped the architecture back in about 6 feet and allowed for light to come down through a light well to all three levels, including the basement. So it was pretty well done, and with all those windows, had pretty good ventilation because obviously it was pre-air conditioning. So wonderful job of the design for that structure. The lower level of the building, I don't really know what that looked like in its original state because we haven't found the blueprints, but it's cut up now between a couple of retail tenants and mostly taken up by an Italian restaurant that's in there. I'm not really sure. It was I've been in the late 90s or whatever. It was there was an old gentleman there that had a office equipment company. Zeller Office Supply. The guy's name was Jacques Zeller, and unfortunately they used the basement as a dumping ground, so they did a lot of copier repair. And so when we got the building, the entire basement level was full. They used this extra staircase they had, rolled this stuff down the stairs, and just filled it up until it came clear out to the stairway. And then they put plywood over it. So when you we got there, we had lots of toner everywhere. I was black for weeks. And so anyway, but that all got cleaned up, and now parts of the basement are actually usable. So some parts are not because of certain remodeling. When they did the restaurant, they destroyed a little bit because they ran plumbing real low, which means that you can't walk through there without taking your head off. But probably two-thirds of it is actually, probably two-thirds of it is being used. So,
what was it originally built for?
It was, he was the owner of the Vancouver Independent, and then later on the Chronicle. And so he built it with to be the home for his newspaper business, with the upstairs being built specifically as a rooming house. And when he started to build it, he had actually was leasing it to the Vancouver Home Telephone Company, I believe. And they were going to move in there and take up half of the main floor. And they did not meet the payment schedule of the city, and therefore they lost their ability to have business here. So it was built with that in mind. It was filled by some other renters and leases by that, but not. So that's why I built it.
Who was the architect? Was
there? No, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have any other questions?
The parapet treatment, we talked about a little bit about that at the site. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's got the 70s workover. Assuming that was probably done sometime around that period.
Who in their right mind would take that off? I mean, really, it's really sad. It's gone. But it was put on there once, so sometime in my lifetime we may recreate that.
Sure.
No, so they took it off. They didn't just cover it up with this.
No.
Like an Italian at cornice.
It's just
with corbels and all.
It was like kind of meet those guys in an art alley. And yeah. What were you thinking? But anyway, and they plastered, so they covered up some of the brick. They used some kind of, before my memory, because I've lived here all my life, and I just don't remember seeing them put that plaster up. But anyway, there's a band of plaster around that whole thing that covered up where they pulled it off. And I just, you wonder. It was probably a urban renewal. I don't know what you call it. I call it destruction. But this one, I think the other one that I would like to do first is on that building on 607 Main, and this one is not as complicated in its structure as the other one. Mm-hmm. So this one will be a little easier to reproduce.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome to put that back? I mean, mm-hmm. The building looks quite flat, so when we were working on it, we're trying to kind of draw the eye down a little bit so you don't reach the top and realize there's no lid, right? Mm-hmm. So, but everything that we've done on the building, on the exterior over the time that we've had it, we've tried to concentrate a little bit more on bringing your eye down and not so much to the top, because it's very, extremely plain up there. It looks like it has some kind of a bad hat on it.
Yeah.
In
the continuation sheet, you talk about the style, the building style, and I know that's always kind of subjective anyway, but it sounds like there's a lot of confusion going on over just what is this thing, you know, the Queen Anne and the Richardsonian Romanesque and the Beaux-Arts Italian Renaissance Revival. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I get that from Mr. Chisholm, Derek Chisholm. He's the one that kind of gave the explanation for that. I'm not sure what his position is. Or is he still there? Okay. He did that, the original kind of definition of that. And then he applied it. He used two, I guess it was a CRC and a BNRS, and he used those two.
Yeah.
Again, that's my learning curve that I'm trying to figure out a little bit more, how to define these things besides, you know, going through the books that I looked through and trying to find something similar and stuff.
I'm not there either.
That's for sure. You have my number.
Feel your pain.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, do you have an opinion on that at all?
Well, I'm looking at a building that has the similar, the cornice with the over in Washougal, and I was thinking it was the same, actually it was 1908 also, yeah. Same Italian, Italian style, which would, I guess, would be Romanesque, and the Richardsonian is probably after an architect who was prominent at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so hopefully we find that the Rosetta Stone, the blueprints that kind of tell us those things. And so far we've gotten lucky on most of the buildings, but this one, not yet.
Do you have any other questions for the applicant? All right, let's open the public hearing. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment? I keep saying open the public hearing. It's been open, sorry, for the record.
Sounds good.
All right. But for public comment.
Public comment?
Looks good. Apologize for being late.
We have no other public comment? Okay. So we'll close the public comment period. And do we have anything else we want to deliberate on? No? Anyone want to make a motion?
I move that we accept the application for the rank building.
I second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No.
Okay.
Shell was the second.
Shell was the second.
I always second. That's my
job. All right.
Okay.
Congratulations. Another one. All right.
Thank you.
So we have another public hearing tonight. This one is design review. It's a certificate of appropriateness for the Louisville Park. It's Shelter A. And, all right. So let's open the public hearing with the staff report.
So this is a certificate of appropriateness for a rebuild of Shelter A out at Louisville Park. Louisville Park is located at 26411 Northeast Louisville Highway, Battleboro. The applicant, which is Park County Parks, has applied for a certificate of appropriateness for the rebuild of Shelter A, also known as the older shelter. The proposal is to rebuild the shelter to pre-existing conditions as it was destroyed by a fallen tree during a windstorm in December of 2014. The park is listed in the National Register of Historic Places, which was done in 1986, and the Clark County Historic Register in 1987. Because of its listing in the Clark County Heritage Register, proposals for new structures require review by the Historic Preservation Commission. So according to the nomination, the contributing structures at the park include the central shelter, the bathhouse, the caretaker's cottage garage, Shelter D, Shelter A, and Shelter H. The two smaller shelters from the Works Progress Administration era were Shelters A and H. Both maintain a high degree of integrity, although Shelter A had been given a new roof at the time of nomination. Both were built as open shelters of log upright supporting simple gabled shake roofs and served as a model for later shelters added in the 1950s and 60s. There are a total of 11 of these smaller shelters throughout the park. All reflect the rustic aesthetic and all are basically simple gables over 12 log upright supports. Some have stoves of either lava rock or cast concrete within, and some uprights are mounted on cement cased with lava rock, recalling the Park Service's Albert H. Goode's admonishment in 1935 that footings in the park structure should resemble natural outcroppings. The nine post-1940 shelters are considered non-contributing because they were no after the period of 6 months. So just a little background on Louisville Park. It's the oldest publicly owned park in Clark County. It's located at the east fork of the Lewis River, 2 miles north, Battleground. acquisition was prompted by the federal government's work relief program, specifically the Works Progress Administration, which made funds available for a vast variety of socially worthy projects, including recreational centers. Louisville Park has become one of WPA's most significant and lasting achievements in Clark County. The architecture of the buildings and the design of all other features in the park reflect the rustic aesthetic, architectural aesthetic. Designed by William J. Paith, a former U.S. Forest Service employee, the buildings in Louisville Park are examples of the fully evolved Northwest rustic idiom promoted by federal land managing agencies, notably the National Park Service, during the first two decades of the 20th century. Peeled logs, lava rock, basalt, river rock, and hand split shakes were the materials used to build the park's improvements. These man-made features were deliberately designed to be non-intrusive. Clark County made grant requests for a variety of projects that included a nursery school, teachers, street and sewer improvements, parks, school playing fields, stadiums, and jails. The most significant in terms of historic resources is Louisville Park. The only other park in Clark County to receive WPA funds was Vancouver's Leverage Park, and that appropriation went almost wholly to the rebuilding of the stadium now known as Kiggins Bowl. Nowhere but in Louisville Park are there Depression-era resources of the same quality, workmanship, and distinct style. Louisville Park is significant as a fine example of the rustic aesthetic of park development. It is also significant as a resource historically associated with Depression-era work relief programs and their impact upon the nation's economy. Louisville Park, in its development at the hands of formerly unemployed WPA craftsmen, is a lasting tribute to the federal government's role in providing not only the means for capital projects, but also the remedy for social ills accompanying widespread unemployment. So as we know all the, as I've stated before, because it's listed on the Clark County Heritage Register, it requires review by the commission. Typically, we use the Secretary of the Interior Standards for Rehabilitation, but this is a reconstruction. I use the Secretary of Interior Standards for Reconstruction. So those include the six under the staff review and comment, which I'll just kind of quickly go through them. Standard one, reconstruction will be used to depict vanished or non-surviving portions of a property when documentary and physical evidence is available to permit accurate reconstruction with minimal conjecture, and such reconstruction is essential to the public understanding of the property. So in December of 2014, the shelter was hit by a fallen tree during a windstorm. You can see the pictures here. There's photographic evidence of Shelter A to utilize for reconstruction. It also has a similar Shelter H, both built at the same time and have the same design. These two shelters were also used as models for later shelters built in the 1950s and 60s. Therefore, staff believe there's sufficient physical evidence available to permit accurate reconstruction. Standard two, reconstruction of a landscape, building structure, or object in its historic location will be preceded by a thorough archaeological investigation to identify and evaluate those features and artifacts which are essential to an accurate reconstruction. Typically, the archaeological findings together with archival documentation are used to replicate the plan of the building together with the relationship and size of rooms, corridors, and other spaces and spatial relationships. As this shelter was recently damaged, and there is physical evidence for the reconstruction, staff is not recommending an archaeological investigation to be done. Number three, reconstruction will include measures to preserve any remaining historic materials, features, and spatial relationships. According to the applicant, none of the materials were salvageable. However, staff recommends that if any remaining historic materials and features, such as remnants of a foundation or chimney and site features, such as a walkway or path remain, they should be retained when practicable and incorporated into the reconstruction. The historic as well as new materials should be carefully documented to guide future research and treatment. Number four, reconstruction will be based on the accurate duplication of historic features and elements substantiated by documentary or physical evidence rather than on conjectural designs and availability of different features from other historic properties. A reconstructed property will recreate the appearance of the non-surviving historic property in material, design, color, and texture. As stated in findings number one above, the reconstruction will be accurate due to an identical shelter on site and will have the same material, design, color, and texture as the original. Number five, a reconstruction will be clearly identified as a contemporary recreation. So staff finds if there are any historic interpretive materials at the park, in printed material, or online regarding the historic significance of Shelter A, Staff recommends that the applicant update any and all materials to state that Shelter A is now a recreation of the original due to the storm damage. So with all that, I didn't find number six applicable, so there's no findings on that one. My recommendation is that I recommend the commission approve the certificate of appropriateness for the proposal as submitted, with the consideration, as mentioned before, that any existing historic materials, if any, that can be practically retained be incorporated in the reconstruction. And you'll see that we've got, I just provided some background information. We've got the nomination in there, as well as the parks has a kind of pamphlet that shows, has pictures of all the shelters so that you can see what it looked like. I also included some newspaper articles from the 80s that kind of gave some context about how the park was put together, as well as I finally read the whole thing today was the story of Louisville Park from Carl Landerholm, which was interesting because some of the recent historic or recent nominations we did, the Meyer Farmstead, High Meyer was part of the planning for that, being the Grange Master, as well as Albert, the Loretta Green. She owns property out there, the Albert Green House and the Marine Barn. So kind of the same, you know, it's interesting to see how the people that were involved in these kind of projects were touching all over the community. So that's all I have. If there's any questions?
Actually, I have a couple questions. Looking at the reading how the original Shelter A was constructed with the cedar shakes and the hand-stripped logs, and looking at the photos of the, you know, whatever, ruined shelter, I was wondering if you know if those logs were the original logs or if they'd been replaced.
To my knowledge, they were, but I've got Jeremy and Bill here. Mm-hmm. They'll speak to that.
Okay, well, or, you know, when this time. Yeah. And then the other, I guess, question would be, is there a criteria for practical? You said that these efforts would be as practical.
I think, yeah, it depends on, you know, the damage is done, how much damage has been done, whether or not.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's better to define the extent, because again, you're looking at the photos, and a lot of those logs, not a lot of them, but some of them looked, if they were the original logs, they didn't look damaged.
Yeah,
you know,
so that's
looks
that's
like some of them could be retrieved. Yeah, okay. And then,
That was the biggest one out there. We've rented that several times for birthday parties, and I spent the 80s out at Louisville Park. But my question is, if that's the largest one, I mean, the others were built based on this one?
Let's let the applicant ask those questions, and then if that's why I was saying, if you have questions and you can't answer them, then we'll let the applicant speak.
I was just similar question, I think, to what Sarah had in my thinking about, well, what would I do if I had to reconstruct that, and I think, boy, you've got a real opportunity with that. If there were no record drawings or anything, you've got the remains of the building, a real forensic opportunity to go out and here's how big that plate was, and here's how big this member was, and to just go out. Did you do kind of a forensic thing on the building? And
just that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Getting ahead of it. That would be a question from me. How did you approach it? And then I think in what you were describing, the roof was not shake. It was changed to composition shingle before the nomination. Would it be a consideration to use the shake, or is there a maintenance concern, or, you know, why not go whole hog and go all the way back to what was originally built. And I did, in the photos you see there's some concrete masonry. You know, whether that was original or whether that was added at some point during the life of the shelter for the barbecue pit or whatever it was, I'd kind of be curious if anybody had any thoughts on that. That, you know, this chimney stack is concrete masonry and might be. What was the original construction date?
37.
30, yeah.
Maybe
1930s, but yeah, kind of. Those were some of my questions too. Is maybe more things were replaced on the structure, but you know, without knowing. So, okay. Do you have any other questions for staff?
I'd like to see how much could be salvaged, because to me, it's that structure sits right on the river. There's a bend right there on this side. I guess it would be, because the road's on that side. So it's amazing that it survived 100 years and there was no flooding. So I think because of that, we should give as much thought and energy as we can to preserving. And I'd be curious, too, how much of this structure is, because it is the largest one out there, if I'm not mistaken, similar to the structures that survived the windstorm. And maybe there could be a comparison and a contrast to see the building materials, the forensic, as you put it, and see the differences, because that might give us more information.
How much of the concrete along on the ground survived? I mean, is that going to be getting replaced, or is that?
I'll let Jeremy ask him that. So I think these are all good questions that we'll be able to answer when they're
up. Okay. One more question and. I'd probably answer it when I asked the question. So this shelter got hit by a tree. Obviously, it's pretty tough to survive getting hit by a tree. All the other shelters have survived, you know, windstorms, and this one survived all the elements till it was hit by a tree. But is there any, has there been any consideration or thought to the, you know, I see those little knee braces, but I don't see any shear elements in the design. It's all, you can see the cross pieces at the roof framing. So it's depending on those columns to survive, to keep it from, you know, it's the columns and the knee braces, and how are the columns connected at the footing. So in the redesign, I'd be curious if what the if there were changes structurally that maybe we are not seeing that would bring the structure up to current standards, since seismic zone 3 and all that.
So you're saying that perhaps it could be stronger than, and it may have been stronger at one point.
Well, like I said, you know, I mean, the thing was hit by a tree. Give it a break, you know. but and it lasted, you know, 80 years or however long it was before. I didn't do the math. So just a curiosity.
Okay, unless you guys have more questions for me, I think Bill and Jeremy can provide a lot of information on some questions we've already heard.
Sure. The structure lasted 78 years since the time it was built, and it was amazing that it withstood all the monster windstorms throughout the ages. And unfortunately, when this big cottonwood tree, it was a 4-foot in diameter, it was a monster tree, it came down and crushed the whole left side of that shelter, which drove the logs essentially into the ground and destroyed the footings on the whole left side. And of course, the rest of the shelter collapsed over the top of it. And the logs that you can see that are actually in pretty good shape, I don't know what kind of integrity they had left as far as internal.
Yeah, no, they're good. The only one, that thing, that 4-foot diameter tree came down, lying smack up with one of them that you see, drove it into the ground, and all of them, the rest of them are fine. They're salvageable, so we did save them.
So they were sitting on the side.
Exactly. So the intent is to use as much of the original materials as possible, going back into the shelter, and then recreating the shelter to look like it did before. You mentioned the seismic. Obviously, the shelter now that we're going to be committing has to meet code. So there's seismic, there's wind shear, and some extra bracing that has to go on to the shelter to allow it to meet code. But it really shouldn't affect the visual integrity of the building from what it looked like before. So, of course, some of the concrete, as you can see, was obliterated when those posts got driven into the ground. So some of the original concrete will have to be replaced, and as well as some of the tables that were inside there.
I actually had briefly a picture of us up there demoing part of it.
I think a lot of that fireplace is basically called a fireplace. It's not the largest shelter out there. I think it's the third largest. You have Central Shelter and Maple Shelter that are the two largest. This is kind of a medium-sized shelter, and it does match the size of H or Hemlock Shelter, and so it's located within Louisville Park on the way to the island section. So as you come down, drop in. On the first left before you go across the bridge, it's straight out the field, and we have some brand new play equipment that's out there fronting it. But I can tell you that there's a lot of broken hearts when that shelter was down, because there's so many folks that went out there for so many years and rented that particular shelter. Yeah. And so we had to cancel all reservations this year for obvious reasons. But with any luck, we're hoping to get the shelter back in shape this year, and then we can get back into allowing these folks to go out and reserve for the
section. We're battling fronts on other sides with SEPA and environmental and shoreline and on and on. So
yeah,
we're like, it's lasting 100 years.
The only other question that to address is the shake. So when we went out to bid this, we bid it as an exact rebuild, and which obviously with this has a composite shingles, and so the shake would be an additional cost. And like I said, when we did the bid, it's a fixed quote bid that was awarded, so we'd have to go through a change order and whatnot but we actually have to do a staff report to get the funding approved on this, so we'd have to probably do another staff report and ask for additional funding for that.
Has anybody, that's kind of nestled right, I'm very familiar with that. I hired a magician to do my daughter's second birthday at that shelter, but it nestles right into a bunch of trees.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So has anybody assessed the trees to see if there could be any weak trees that could fall again before we rebuild?
In the parks business, we've learned to look up, but there's a lot of trees that surround all of our shelters, and but we just don't know when they're going to go. There's no real clear fall zones, around any of our shelters. And this one tree came out of the woods and nailed this one, and there's 50, 60 other trees that are within striking range of the shelter, so we're kind of going on faith that that's not going to happen again. And so luckily, the shelter stood for 78 years without being struck, and we did have another shelter a few years ago that was struck, but it wasn't damaged all that bad. That was easily repairable, but we've had pretty good luck out of Louisville, with tree strikes. But all these shelters, surprisingly, they've made it through super high winds and, with the structure as they were built. And, those folks back then when they built these shelters, they made them last, and obviously, they've withstood the test of time. And so really impressed, with the design. And we think, recreate that design, I think it'll last another, who knows how long, it lasted 78 years. I think it could probably easily last another 100 years once recreated.
I recognize that there's considerable forest surrounding it. I'm familiar with it, but I'm just asking, has anyone looked at the trees that are close to it to see if there's any dead or sick trees? Because what we don't want is to rebuild it and then have this happen in the next big windstorm.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think it might be good to have some due diligence in that direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've taken a look at the trees. All the trees have seemed to be fairly healthy around it. It was surprising to me that a cottonwood trees, they usually break. They don't usually blow over. And so that was kind of a shock. There's a lot of cedar trees that are around. Some of them are dying. As they do die, we do take them down. So there's no visible hazard trees in the area.
our maintenance staff is constantly out there too, looking for widowmakers or dead or dying trees, and they are removed when they are found. But as far as hiring an arborist to assess all the trees out there, no, we have cost is a factor that we have to constantly battle as far as budgets and whatnot, so we don't have that luxury to do that if it's up to this point.
Yeah, we do have two arborists on staff, and they're spread pretty thin trying to get around to all these different sites, but that's one thing we can actually take a hard look at, make sure all the trees in that particular area are, you know, safe and do not pose a threat.
Looking at the construction drawings, what concerned me was that there wasn't any note about reusing the lumber that I noticed, unless we have a different version of it. So were the bids based on all new 10-inch rounds, or was there some allowance there?
There was the pile that was salvaged laying there, and but the integrity of those weren't assessed at that point, so it's something we've incorporated into the design since.
No, you said if possible.
If possible.
Yeah, if possible, you can read out whatever you want. If we wanted to salvage the roof angles, they'd let us, but I'm not going to read them. So we drew the lines. We'll use the logs, but these other things are not usable. So that's the good dot.
Is reusing the existing logs less expensive than getting new? Not necessarily.
What kind of wood are the logs?
They're native from the site.
For your concerns regarding the.
Well, I was just coming back around to the cedar shakes and thinking, well, if they could save the money on, you know, money saved on repurposing the logs rather than purchasing new wood, but I guess, or cutting down new on, you know, from on site, or however they're going to go about getting new material, if they could repurpose it, and then the money saved from that could go towards cedar shingles, but I don't know. You know,
No, I only put in my bid to replace two of them, so.
Okay.
Are you the contractor? You didn't introduce yourself. Could you give your name?
Derek Hubel with Wolf Industries, commercial general contractor that attacked these small parts jobs from
I'm sorry, what's the name of the company?
The Wolf Industries.
Okay.
And so your detailed bid includes only a certain number of new
labor,
supports?
Yeah, materials. Two line items. It's not a detailed line item bid. It's just a lump sum of labor.
Well, not to get too much into the weeds, but I guess why I'm asking all these questions is that the section on the original, that fill, however, that set of the materials and the texture, and so looking and worrying, I guess, maybe just because I've worked in the public sector, and if it's not written down, then sometimes it can get, you know, pushed aside. And so not seeing on the construction drawings that all of these will be reused, or only all but two will be reused, you know, that to me...
we'll balance a fine line here, because if you put too much on there, and you say that they're reused, we know they're structurally sound. But then the permit center, they come back and they say, well, we got a verification. We want some testing done on these beams. And like, we know they're fine. They're good. We promise they're good. So we're trying to balance too much information versus like lack of information, like you're saying. So that's our thought on it.
And then the whole idea with the cedar shakes versus the shingles, you know, just reading everything in the old documents, I didn't remember seeing that they said they'd just replaced the roof, but obviously they weren't thinking about historical integrity when they replaced the roof either back then. And I'm thinking, again, that's probably why we're here, is to, you know, try to, I guess, the whole site, look at that historical integrity. And I don't know what the cost increase for cedar shingles are. I've installed both types of shingles myself. It didn't seem to take too much more extra work for them, so it must just be a material cost thing rather, and probably a long-term maintenance thing to take a look at. But
cedar shakes run about twice the cost per square.
Okay.
And it would take a lot longer because you literally have to line up every single one versus a consistent size.
Throwing the whole sheet on there, yeah.
Sheet.
I'm a slow worker, so to me it's the same. But,
It
takes me just as long.
But from the production side, yeah, absolutely.
But I would think the longevity, the payoff would be well worth it, the extra cost. And like,
with the Cedar Shakes.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the owner on their part, but... Yeah,
but in your experience, would that be the case?
If you can get wood like they used to grow.
Well, there's Canadian Cedar Shakes, I know. I put them on houses.
I know. And
they're a little less money than the American Cedar Shakes.
Well, it's, we're not, yeah.
Maybe that could work, is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be local.
We don't have
cedar.
To push into that.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah.
Could we maybe look into that? Would that be something?
Can we make a recommendation?
Yeah.
Well, we have, if anyone has any other questions for the applicant.
I do. Just in terms of the, back to the, how much ground disturbance do you expect there to be, you know, in terms of, so I'm like the token archaeologist on the commission and the project's subject to SEPA, and I see that an archaeological survey is not being recommended, but if it's...
There's very little.
Half the slab was destroyed, so we saw cut down the middle, removed the damage, and it's just going to be formed and poured back the way it was, so no excavation.
See a picture of us on site with the excavator? There's a news article from the Reflector.
That wasn't submitted as part of the application.
She somehow poured out some marker.
So it's the side closest to the water?
No, opposite side.
Opposite side. Oh, good.
Sir, are you reusing the existing footings at the post, except for the one side?
Yeah.
And you're going to drill in the new seismic straps to hold the...
Well, now, do we have any more questions for the applicant?
We're interested in the cedar.
probably understood that, yeah. Do we have any public that would like to comment on this application? Seeing none. All right. We'll close the public hearing portion and move it to the commissioners to deliberate. I guess I would feel more comfortable if we actually had a condition, even though we have the contractor here that, you know, that's making a lot of assurances, just having it in writing, and perhaps it's for future, kind of a pattern for if something else happens to another shelter.
Could set a precedent, yeah.
Right, just to say that these are the important elements that, rather that practical doesn't feel... feels like we need to be a little more specific.
Yeah. I feel your pain on that cedar versus accomplishing issue, but it is, I mean, it is a lot more of a beautiful aesthetic experience to go into the park and see the cedar shakes and see all the natural materials. And it's like, it's almost like it hits a sour note when you think you're going to drive up, for some of us it would anyway, you're going to drive up and you're going to see that composition shingle roof on this beautiful old restored structure.
Can we make it
my comment to that, throw it out there. When you drive up to it, it's up to the A-frame side. The other side's facing up to the trees, and when you walk past on the lower side, the roof's so high that it's... I want to throw the other argument out there, that when you drive up to it, it's not as apparent, because it is tucked back in there against the trees.
But when you're playing out in that field with Frisbees, you can look back at the shelter and see it in plain sight. I spent a lot of time at Louisville.
Yeah.
How big is the structure?
Well, we're actually supposed to deliberate, yeah.
I guess we had more questions.
Yeah, it sounds like we had more questions.
The deliberations
we need to, so they do.
I'm with you on that. I think we need some kind of extrapolation.
And, you know, how to word that exactly, we probably need to give it a little bit of a shot. I think that's why I was asking those initial questions about, you know, how much definition there is already in the code about practical or practicable or any of those things.
And it all has all the Secretary of Interior standards are.
Yeah, they're kind of squishy.
General, it's for you all as the local commission to determine.
Well, it's interesting that roof was replaced in like the year before it was nominated, yeah. The year before it turned 50 and it was eligible. So, you know, they probably didn't do it with an eye towards the history, and it would be nice to have this opportunity to sort of get it back. So.
And if we can, we will. I don't know as far as, like I said, the staff report and how it'll be paid for. There might be limitations there. We don't want to push this thing to all of a sudden, okay, well, we can't afford it and mm-hmm. not rebuild it. Mm-hmm. And then what do we do at that point? Is the roof going to be a deal breaker?
I mean, or recommendation?
It's our, you know.
So I guess ultimately what Jeremy's saying is that if they were to change the current contract of what the board of county councilors has approved, have to go back for the board to actually approve that additional amount. The commission here can recommend that that's what they would like to see, and we go through the process of the board with the recommendation from the commission says, no, we don't have the budget. They would be the ultimate authority, but we can't go about it this way.
Okay.
So if that's the...
Will this come back before us again?
No.
This is our last chance.
So you make a recommendation. If your recommendation included that you're approving the certificate with condition that you want to have it, the roof be the cedar shake shingles, then they will...
As long as they can help us.
They can come, and we can have them come testify. But yeah, so it would go before the board. If they needed to have board approval, they would need to have it go before hearing consent for that. And then the board would decide whether or not they approve that additional cost. And they would have the information that this is, you know, recommendation from the Historic Commission due to the requirements of being on the register.
Right. So
my question for you, Jackie, is what's the surface area of that roof?
The foundation is 30 by 21.
30 by 21?
Yeah.
We don't need to figure out the cost of it.
No, I'm not. I'm just, I don't think it's quite double because I just did one, but the Canadian cedar, I think we should at least. I wish Robert were here. He's so.
The problem with wage and things of that nature, what you do, the residential versus what we do. The public sector, and you're aware of this, I'm sure, the cost is significantly more when we go out and do work like this versus if we were to do it in our own backyards type thing.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe wage.
I wouldn't want to be specific about the type of cedar. Just
no, I cedar wouldn't either. Shapes. I'm just saying that that's possible.
That'd be something to look at, yeah.
Who wants to work with this one?
Split or
resolve.
Did you also
want to
include a condition that the loft be breathed?
Right, and that the, you know, it seems, again, not to meddle too much with the design, but I think saying things like the new log should probably be to the interior of the building so that when people come up to this building, they see as much of the original as possible, I think would be, at least in my opinion, if that was something that we were to say. I came into this meeting thinking that they were all going to be new 10-inch rounds, and I was kind of appalled. So it is good news to hear that more is going to be reused. So I would suggest that our condition, however we word it, reflect that either the construction drawings reflect it. There should be some follow-through that if this decision is approved by the board, that those specifications are included.
I've heard the word recommendation used by you, Jackie, and then you also used the word condition.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just for my clarification, does it become a condition in that when we make a recommendation, it has to be followed through?
Yes, yours is not a recommendation. Yours would be the decision. So, I'm recommending to you staff's. But when you guys, you're quasi-judicial, so your decision is appealable, so you're making your final decision. So whatever the condition is or whatever the decision is goes into the record, and that's what's connected to the into our permit system database, so that when the permit's pulled, your recommendation of what you approved is on there. Does that answer your question?
What's the time frame on the rebuild?
As soon as we get through permitting.
We have no idea.
We thought this would be built back in April, but we're still going through permitting and designing. And we went and submitted the plans, code, but it wasn't a code, so obviously there had to be a lot of changes
to the code. Though.
So it's been a process.
Okay.
Reuse.
Well, I'm recommending, but you guys
can
make
your decision. Yeah, we need to describe. Yeah, anyway.
Okay. Here's our beginnings here. So I guess part of the one of the conditions would be that
use
the practical. Reuse of
original or existing, because we don't know if it's original.
Right. Well, as much as we know, the original supports, 10-inch supports are.
Let's not say 10-inch, because that could, what if one's 12? I mean, let's just say
there are a variety of structures, original structural members.
Structural, that's. We love having an architect. Structural members, or is that what we're
already,
but I don't want to, we're really just going up
that's the part that I was being particular about,
not the rest.
Well, if you add the Sarah described, you know, for appearance, seeing the original structural members on the
interior,
you know, on the perimeter, to that's what I think you were saying, Sarah, was you'd want to look at the shelter and have it appear as you approached it to be the same shelter it was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the original structural members would be placed in locations that would facilitate that impression. So as you went into the interior, this is what I think I'm repeating what you said.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, I guess, also make a reasonable condition, because I think even if we came here tonight and they said they were all going to be new structures, I'm not familiar with how far one can go to say that those new structures not be the milled, you know, that they actually look more like logs, like the original logs, even though that, you know, I'm sure there's probably some method to doing that, and obviously it would be a bigger cost, but to have them on the exterior, again, elevations, you know, the interior might not be as important, but that would have been what I was recommending, would be that there'd be a majority of things that looked like original logs rather than milled.
He did say that they've only ordered two.
Right. Yeah, so the condition would be something along the lines of having, you know, the more of an original log structural member. Either the originals reused or something that is more like a log.
Then why don't we use sort of vague language that says majority?
You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah. We could use language that just says majority.
And
that
it's not more than 50 as much of a worry now since we've heard things, but I think that's where I was going with the condition, is that what if the building department comes back and says, you can't use any of these? I don't know if our decision holds a little more weight that, yes, they should be reused. They would have stood there for another 50 years. So if our decision could overrule the building department in that sense or not, is my hope.
Jeremy, did you have something?
Well, and she hit on it right there. It's like, is the building department, when they come out and inspect this, are they going to pass? Is it going to pass muster? And I don't know. Are these stipulations that you guys are writing, is it going to be part of the permit? I mean, how is this all come to play? And then you have the cost rising up, and I just, I'm afraid it's going to bust this project if we start putting all these requirements. We'll do the cedar shake, or we'll try to go for the cedar shake and see if that's feasible, but I just see the dollar signs racking up right now, and our intent is to restore this as it was, as close to possible with materials that we can get, but...
But didn't you say there was only two new logs being ordered? You said that.
Yeah.
So there's only two out of how many?
Ten.
10. So that's 80%.
The thought of it being matching old, way back in the way day, they use logs and peeled. These are peeler cores.
These are what?
Peeler cores. They're peeled. They're milled logs.
Yeah. Right. So,
they're not even intern.
Just deliberation-wise, mm-hmm. we may be getting a little too into the weeds and too hung up on the difference, because mm-hmm. in 6 months, they're all going to look the same anyway. The material will weather.
Well, that's why we're deliberating. If it's,
I think
if it's too much detail, then that's
fine with your approach.
So
I'd like to make it not a recommendation, but a condition that we put a cedar shake roof. I think it will go better with continuity of the park with the other shelters. I don't think it's going to exactly double the cost, and I'll buy coffee to prove my
point. Well, we don't have to. Yeah.
I think that that is more important to me, and I think it will actually help the longevity of the roof. I mean, you should have cedar shake out there. It's under the alder is right under trees. Composition is going to break down.
So
composition has what, 10, 15 year?
So where we're at so far in our deliberations is we're through, I guess maybe through the record, we've made it very clear, and that could be in itself an important factor, that for the record we're hearing that it's going to be the reused materials, which that word practical, I guess in a way we've discussed it enough that it should be understood what that means, at least for my sense of peace, I guess, on that matter. The cedar, it sounds like the next issue that we should discuss, and it's not something, at least from my understanding, even though I can hear the pain from our applicants, but it is something that we should consider not necessarily cost, it should be a reasonable decision in my mind, but we need to make the decision based on our role too. So any thoughts on that condition, adding that condition, or?
I'd be in favor of condition for cedar shakes.
I would too. It just goes, you have to look at the park as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a kind of a planned unit. It's evolved over time. Right?
Well, I suggest that Shell or somebody.
Let's make a motion, and then we'll deliberate and see if that's it, and then we'll vote on it. So
can I make one more comment, or are you past that?
Well, we are past it, and we know your
requirement
concern.
Makes this project mm-hmm. not doable. Mm-hmm. Is that requirement still going to stay in place, and then the shelter won't be rebuilt?
I think there's always an avenue to making things possible, and we have.
There's an appeal process, so the decisions can be appealed. And
we can definitely explore it if something, we have volunteers, there's probably a lot of ways to save a project we haven't thought about tonight. Have we made a motion?
All right.
The motion could be something along the lines is that we actually move to approve the design review of the shelter A with the condition that the roof shingles be cedar.
I make a motion that we move to approve the rebuilding of the alder structure at Lewisville Park, Shelter A, designated, with the condition that a cedar-shaped roof is installed as close to the original roof as possible.
No, just keep going, please.
And furthermore, that as much existing structural members as possible be reused.
All right, do we have a second for the motion, not for the whole, for the condition?
See again.
Do you have a second for the condition, and then we'll deliberate it? We have to second the motion to deliberate it.
There were sort of two conditions in there, one about the roof and one about reusing. So
you got to second it to discuss it.
I think that's the motion, right? So the motion
you could discuss it, right.
These two conditions.
But the Robert rules would be you actually second that you, so that we can discuss it. Right. So
then we have to vote on it.
If we don't want to discuss it, then we have to come up with another motion.
Do you want me to come up with one more on the reuse? Why don't we second and then we'll discuss it?
Okay, second.
Okay, so what is our changes to it? Or
Alex, you look very thoughtful.
Oh, I don't know. I do feel like we're starting to get into the mountain out of Molehill. I think the issue of the cedar shake roof should be separate from the reuse, because the reuse has already been addressed in here. You know, there is that word when practical, which I know is sticking in your craw, because it is squishy.
But I do feel like we've discussed it.
We've discussed it. I feel like we've gotten assurances from the contractor that they're making the best faith effort to reuse. So I'd like to keep the condition, keep them separate, I guess, because I think we feel more strongly, or at least it seems like we're more consistent on the cedar roof. I mean, part of the whole significance and element is that this Northwest rustic style, and the roof composition is certainly integral to that style. So I do feel like that's something that should be at least looked into. I feel comfortable making a condition for a cedar shake roof.
I think we all agree on that.
So we're revising the condition to.
So can I make a motion then that we accept the certificate of appropriateness for the new rebuild of Shelter A with the condition that the contractor and owner attempt or look into installing a cedar shake roof
in lieu of
a composition per the original intent of the construction.
So I will second the motion so we can discuss it.
Okay.
And so the difference in the language would be that's a softer condition, in the sense that we'd be allowing them to staff to make the determination whether or not the best efforts had been attempted at this, and whether is that, you know, rather than a firm condition. So that's where I see the difference in these two.
And I feel more comfortable with what Alex has said on two points, you know, dropping the getting into the weeds on what's reused and what's not. I like that. And I like, actually, I feel more comfortable being a little softer on the composition shingle versus the cedar shake, because I understand.
Yeah.
We all understand, but I've been there enough times that to be able to go to the funding sources and say, you know, look, we're getting some pressure. It doesn't have to be worded as an absolute requirement. I'm not sure procedurally what that means if we have the softer language and say we would like this to happen. But that's kind of where my thinking was when this initially came up, was that it would be more of a recommendation and less of a requirement.
So,
do we have that option?
Do we have that option?
Well, we do, but
you can put in there. I mean,
I just don't know what it means from here on.
So, is the motion okay? So,
I think that we'd have to be a little more specific, in the sense that we are actually asking that they go back to their funding source and ask. If that's, to me, that's the softer language versus saying it has to happen.
Do you know what the cost
means? You know, knowing the cost, again, doesn't really, I guess, in my mind, probably because I'm a planner. So, city planner, we look at what, you know, what, how close can we come to compliance with all of the rules and regulations and balance with the goal? And our goal is to make this look as close to the original design architecture feel, that feel, feeling, and that feel seems to me that Cedar Shakes would probably really help with the feel. But, you know, the balance part of it. And so cost, price, even though they're factors, they, at least in my job, that's not necessarily something that we can, we're working for the people too. Not, in fact, that's really what we are working for. They're our audience, so you know, it's not always an easy decision for us to be firm rather than soft. But I don't know if we're going to be soft. I think we have to be more specific as to what the effort is. But
to me, it's more important to have the cedar roof because it goes to the durability of the structure, and a composition will have to be replaced.
So
a cedar will be a long time. So in my mind, I think that we should make, I would recommend that we don't worry so much about the reuse, because it sounds like pretty substantial efforts are being made that way,
mm-hmm.
but that we should make it a requirement of the cedar roof, because I think if we're working for the public,
and I think
that's...
Yeah, and I think that the interesting thing is if we had a vote on this condition right now, I think that it would be a split vote on the cedar, whether or not it's a soft condition versus a firm condition. So,
that's true.
Should we have more discussion on? because it, you know, obviously, so if I was to make a motion, I would say that it should be a condition.
It should be a condition too.
And then hopefully there's and tools in our toolbox to help if there's a cost.
Meeting this, you know. I mean,
that's why
the condition is pretty much all
we have funding too.
It's a tool. So I don't know that we can really put in a recommendation for record.
Did you hear me? That's why I asked about the time frame, because we have funding that could be.
Right, I think there might be tools to help with the project.
The applicant, I think we have to listen to the concern. I don't think it's being said in lightly that we could be jeopardizing the project by making it a requirement. And the roofing material is a kind of a temporary thing. In some respects, it wears out like paint. I would really like to see cedar shakes on the structure, but I would also really like to see the structure be built.
And that, you know, you put a composite roof on in 20 years, it, like you say, it's going to have to be replaced. It could be replaced with cedar shakes. I mean, you know.
Well,
but, you know,
if the precedent's set that it's not, then it won't be.
I'd be curious, and I know it's another question for our applicants. There are multiple structures, I can't remember how many, 10 or 12, or on the site. I would imagine that this one was not the only one that had the composition shingles on it.
Well, Rob, we had internal discussion, but there was a list of structures that were contributing to it and non-contributing, and so this was one of the contributing buildings. So not all of the buildings, some of them are newer. Right?
We're worried about the overall appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Shell has talked about the master plan.
A lot of these structures are out in the open. This one is under tree canopy or right there. So I don't think it's well served by a composition roof. I think this needs to be some kind, and we'll let them figure that out. That's not our area of expertise. Cedar shake roof. It would go with this. It would be a better structural integrity issue. It would be. It would go with historical integrity, and I don't think it's going to be so much more expensive that it's going to. I mean, that is a loved structure, as the gentleman pointed out. I knew right away when it was on our agenda exactly which building it was, and lots of people do. There will be tools, I would use the word funding, made available if that is the scenario that unfolds. So I think we should make it a condition because it's the way it was originally and it's the way it should be going forward.
And well, and then there's also the other option, which just occurred to me too, is if, you know, if there is a worst case scenario, they could always bring this project back to us, correct?
Yes, and we have a budget.
Well, you know, it could come back.
Your budget on this. Promotion and outreach, just no fun, Jim. I'm sorry.
But so it sounds like we're creating another motion. Otherwise, well, do we want to vote on the one that's in front of us, or should we create another motion?
Yeah. Alex's?
Alex's.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think Alex, help me out if I missed part of it. Approve rebuild shelter A with an intent applicant to look at cedar shake versus asphalt. Is that word? What word did you use?
Consider? I think he said consider or at least look at. I think it should be.
Okay, let's vote on.
Approve rebuild shelter A with intent on contractor or on applicant to consider cedar shake versus the asphalt roof.
Is that how you wanted it worded? Okay. So all in favor?
Did we get a second?
Did I get a second?
I guess I second.
Well, we already seconded for discussion.
You were seconded.
Yeah. Right, so we vote, and if it doesn't pass, then we come up with another motion. Yep. So, all in favor?
Say no, and we take another run at the motion.
Okay. So,
Sarah, why don't you give it a shot?
I think the wording that was proposed was good up until the point. So we should say something along the lines of we support the design review of shelter A with the condition that the composite roofing be, I guess, replaced or substituted with cedar shake roofing. And that's it. Is there a second for that
second
motion? Okay, do we want to discuss it some more?
Nope.
Wordsmith it?
Let's vote.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so that was unanimous. All right. So the hearing's closed. All right. Whew, that was a rough one.
Okay. Could have gone either way there. It was pretty dicey.
Yeah, that was
pretty nasty. Okay, so let's move on.
So our next.
If they cannot make this work financially, they have the option of coming back again and saying, you know, we'll work with you.
We'll make it work.
Yes, well, I'll help you guys out with what if we need to come back.
I'll allow you guys out there.
You know, honestly, I help with these kind of things. That's my hobby.
I'm a 17-year-old and a hammer.
But that's off the record-ish, I guess. So. Okay. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
So let's see. Our next item on the agenda, we've already talked about the mobile app. We had John Yeon and the Shire lecture tour on there, but Robert is unavailable tonight. So we'll carry that over to the next meeting. We have the Clark County Code of Ethics next.
Yes, and Robert had looked at the Board of County Councilor of Commissioners. He's the rules of practice, and that's part of our Code of Ethics. So he just wanted us to all submit it to our county as the rules of the road and the county boards. So that's just that. All county commissioners. Well, he feels that if it was their role, then passes down to other advisory boards. So that's all I have for old cases and updates, unless anyone else has anything.
So was this an item that Robert was going to talk more about?
Yeah.
So again, we should hold this over to the next.
We can. He just wanted to have me distribute it, and so it's part of your, you know, your binders.
I see. Okay.
So he can bring. He can talk about.
The next meeting will be
back at the house.
This says adjournment 7:30, so we're behind schedule.
We are. Let's get to it. So I will send you all that you all do now administer an historical promotion grant. The press release went out today, which I'll send out to you. Deadline for this round of applications will be September 25th. It's now on the website, the historical promotion grant. Remember our discussion last month about you all being the grant review for that. So
that's it. Maybe that the probably the November maybe.
Yeah,
come back again.
Yeah,
come
yeah.
Don't have time.
We'll probably do it as a work session type. So there's that. So if you have any questions on that, they'll send you the news release so you can distribute to anyone you may know that might be interested in applying. Election of officers, we're going to go. Robert would like to see if we could postpone that until August so he could be here.
I will not be here in August. So maybe September.
We try to keep all these.
We believe this would happen if we had a July. I mean, people are gone. It's vacation time.
Yeah. Is there, you know, is there some thing, reason that we shouldn't be postponing it? Is there any? I don't think there is. But.
It was his request, so like, you know, it's up to you all whether or not you want to just take care of it.
Let's just wait. It's getting late.
Okay. All right, just, you know, throwing it out there with if Shell's going to be gone next month and then, you know, if we're going to postpone it again and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so that's a question. Are we postponing it until September then?
Probably so.
I guess I don't have any objection. Do you? No? Okay, so September.
The what we had talked about, the historic grant, I don't see that in the minutes. Was that and it was something I remember we discussed it last meeting.
We did discuss it.
Last meeting or was it the meeting before?
Well, I was sick at the last meeting, so
no, we discussed
it. So I missed
that.
Okay. I didn't vote on the minutes.
You're right. Yeah, what happens is when I have to present and do my notes. I sometimes don't take my own notes, so I probably didn't have anything written down. So I'll amend that. And
okay.
Get you back to that.
I thought you might
like
that.
I do hope it might help with that. So.
And also, just another small thing. I noticed a little typo in the Louisville Park thing where it says Shelter A is slightly bigger than Shelter A.
Existential kind of thing.
Yeah. So should we have maybe 5 minutes for some public comment if someone has public comment? Any public? All right, no public comment. I guess I move to adjourn.
I second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
It's on page 3, Jack. Good.
Well, that was fun.
Trolling you guys is like ridiculous, you know?
Like herding cats.